Brady officially retires, Mahomes chokes, the Rams survive, and Peyton Manning is comic gold. The Valley Sports Talk begins right now. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into another edition of the LaValle Sports Talk Podcast, brought to you by the Soundline Network. As always, I'm your host, Chris LaValle. Hope you all are doing well and staying safe. Before we get into another exciting weekend of football, I think it's appropriate just to touch on the fact that Brady has officially called it quits. So it was reported over the weekend, I think it was Saturday, there were leaks coming out that Brady was going to retire. Schefter pushed it out, although it was Jeff Darlington who initially reported it. And then all of a sudden, a bunch of people in Brady's camp came out and was like, oh, Brady's not retiring. And then it became this will he, won't he. A lot of people on social media, myself included, was kind of hoping that just to stick it to Adam Schefter, Brady was going to come back and play for one more season just to try and make Adam Schefter look foolish. Because let's face it, there are very few people in sports media who I think have started to get under people's skin more than Adam Schefter. Like, he used to be one of those guys. And I know I'm going completely off of Tom Brady for a second, but I think it's appropriate because I like to bash on the media when I can, especially guys who are complete and utter narcissists like Adam Schefter or Adrian Wojnarowski. And Schefter definitely props himself up as being like the guy, but he does get some shit wrong from time to time. It's not reported too much when he does get things wrong because all of a sudden it's like done and buried. But have you ever like actually gone through Adam Schefter's tweets, like tweet history? It's not great. Because he also says a lot of like the same shit that you already know. Like after the end of a game, after the AFC title game, he tweets out, Bengals are going to the Super Bowl. Yeah, no shit. We all know that, dude. We're all, anyone who follows the NFL, we all just watched that football game. We are completely and utterly aware that the Bengals are going to the Super Bowl. You don't need to tweet that out. And he gets, like, there's like, he's got like 26,000 likes on it. Who the hell is liking that tweet? What is original or newsworthy about that tweet from Adam Schefter? Anyway, it was going to get very comical very quickly if Brady somehow came back or decided to come back just to stick it to Schefter. I thought it would be great. Jeff Darlington, who I do like, it was reported he was the, I guess, the initial guy who he does have inside information inside Brady's camp. He was the first reporter to come out and say, hey, Brady's leaving New England and he's very likely going to Tampa Bay. Darlington had that report before anybody else. And I also know this because Ryan Russillo was talking about this on his pod about how he knows that Darlington's got inside info and he's pretty much been on top of everything that's been going on with Tom Brady over the last 3, 4, 5 years. So Brady's officially called the quits. Brady's the GOAT. We all know that. There's really not a whole lot to say. Usually when somebody finally announces their retirement, it, you know, everyone kind of comes on and they go over their accolades and they talk about what they meant to the game. But Brady's been in the public eye. He's been pretty much the most talked about quarterback in the NFL for what, the last decade plus? I mean, really, it used to be the two top discussed quarterbacks in the NFL for a long time was Brady and Manning. And then Manning retired. And then it's really been Brady. Sure, Aaron Rodgers gets a lot of play. Mahomes also too gets a lot of discussion. But really, everyone has talked about how Brady is the GOAT for the last 5 or 6 years. So it's kind of one of those things where when he retires, what more is there to say? The guy's got his Man in the Arena documentary, which I've talked about before in this podcast, which you can check out on ESPN Plus. Like, it's, there's been so much that has been discussed when it comes to Tom Brady. You can go back and you can talk about, hey, look at this guy who got drafted in the last round of the NFL draft. No one thought he was going to be good. And then he turns out to being the GOAT. We've discussed this over and over and over again. So it's one of those things where I don't see the point in getting into this redundant conversation about how great Tom Brady is. We know he's the GOAT. You can, if you want to start having, the debate starts coming into, is he the best athlete of all time? Or is he the best team sport athlete of all time? Is he better than Michael Jordan? Is he better than Wayne Gretzky? Like, or better than Bill Russell. Like, those are the conversations you can start having. And I think that's where the sports talk or the sports debate gets interesting. But there is no debate that Tom Brady is the GOAT of quarterbacks, or possibly even, I guess you could have the argument of, is Tom Brady the best NFL player of all time? because you still have people who think it's Jim Brown or Barry Sanders or Jerry Rice or Lawrence Taylor. I mean, there are other players that you can have the debate about. I mean, to me, I think that the debate is dead and buried. I think it's Tom Brady. I think Tom Brady is the GOAT, regardless of if you're talking quarterbacks or you're talking NFL players. I just think his accomplishments, what he's done, there's just no question. But again, that's where the debates or the conversation around Tom Brady, I think, is interesting. I just, like I said before, he's set the bar so damn high for any quarterback at this point. It's just, it's not fun. Or to me, it like I said, it's redundant to just go over all the time what he's accomplished, what he's done, how much better he is than any other quarterback that has come before him or even after him to this point in time. So congratulations to Brady in retirement. Now let's discuss what happened this past weekend in the NFL. All right, so I think the place we have to start are the Chiefs, specifically Pat Mahomes. All right, usually when I do an NFL recap, I just go game by game. But I'm focusing in on the Chiefs here, and I'm going to focus in on Pat Mahomes. And anyone who's listened to this podcast should be prepared for this because I was right. I was right about Pat Mahomes, and I was right about Kansas City, and I'll get into that in a second. Yes, I did pick the Kansas City Chiefs to win the football game. I picked them just like everybody else because it just seemed inevitable that they were somehow going to pull it out. And they didn't, and they failed in spectacular fashion. And I, for one, couldn't be more happy to be wrong about a pick in my life. So here we go. Now, I was told by the media, by certain members that are on this network, that Pat Mahomes is the greatest quarterback of all time. I was also told that this Chiefs team was going to be a dynasty. Well, a dynasty of one, possibly. But you can no longer start giving me that dynasty talk. You just can't. And by the way, you want to know the people that were telling me that the Chiefs were going to be a dynasty? The Chiefs. Yahoo Sports. July 6th of 2020. Patrick Mahomes confirms Chiefs mega deal with hype video. We're chasing a dynasty. Pro Football Talk. July 20th of 2020. Chris Jones promises, quote, 5+ rings for the Chiefs. Bleacher Report, July 23rd, 2020. Tyreek Hill predicts Chiefs will win 7 Super Bowls, creating something special. So according to the Kansas City Chiefs, they were also going to be a dynasty. You want to know who that sounds like? Not one, not two, not three, not four. Yeah, how did that work out for LeBron? Yeah, y'all remember that? It's funny how, again, everyone likes to make the Steph Curry comparison with Patrick Mahomes. No. Let's start with the LeBron James comparison. Now, I'm not talking off the field. I'm talking on the field. Patrick Mahomes has been hyped up to be better than Tom Brady, better than Aaron Rodgers, better than anybody, better than John Elway, better than anyone that's come before him or will come after him. That's what I've been told by the media and by a lot of people that I'm friends with. Pat Mahomes is the GOAT. This team, led by Pat Mahomes, has been to 4 AFC championships, 4 straight AFC championships to their credit. They have 2 Super Bowl appearances and 1 Super Bowl title. They got embarrassed in last year's Super Bowl loss to Tampa Bay in a game where the team didn't score a single touchdown. The greatest quarterback of all time couldn't put one ball in the end zone. Oh, but he didn't have a good offensive line. Did Joe Burrow have a good offensive line? Joe Burrow had a worse offensive line statistically this year than Patrick Mahomes had last year. But yet Joe Burrow was able to outscore Pat Mahomes in the second half of this football game. And speaking of the second half of this football game, the Chiefs blew an 18-point lead in the second half to Joe Burrow and the Bengals. The worst choke job in NFL postseason history. Don't give me the Patriots-Colts game of 2006. It's not the same thing. The Patriots were A, on the road when they blew the game, and Peyton Manning was in his prime. Joe Burrow is not in his prime. It's not the same thing. You can't do, that's like comparing apples and oranges. You can try and make excuses for Mahomes, which is fine, but it's not the same thing. Peyton Manning was in his prime. Tom Brady was in his prime, or hit the first of his like 5 primes, if you will, with Tom Brady. But Brady was seasoned. he had been. It wasn't like this was the first time Tom Brady had ever been in this moment or Peyton Manning had been in this moment. They had faced off each other previously in the AFC Championship game. This was the first time Joe Burrow was in this moment. And he not only outplayed Pat Mahomes, but he outclassed Mahomes in the second half of this football game. When Pat Mahomes goes bad, when he plays bad, it gets bad really fast. And he loses confidence unbelievably quickly. Like it's like all of a sudden it's like a snap of the fingers and Mahomes is a completely different quarterback. Let's take a look back at the NFL scouting report on Pat Mahomes, which if you haven't read it before, it clears a lot of things up. These were what was said about Pat Mahomes. And this is why I pushed back on everybody when Mahomes came into the league and I said, did y'all read the scouting report on this dude? Yeah, he's gifted, but he's never going to be the GOAT. He's not better than Aaron Rodgers. He's not going to be better than Tom Brady. Now, after what I said about Aaron Rodgers last week, am I backpedaling? No, I'm not, because I still think Pat Mahomes will probably go down as a better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers. But this was the NFL scouting report. Decision-making goes from bad to worse in a moment's notice. Impatient, big, confident, develop some bad habits, work in progress, high ceiling, sometimes too eager for big game hunting, unique talent, star in the making. All of that is exactly what we've seen from Pat Mahomes so far in his career. Yeah, sure, he has a high ceiling. Sure, he's certainly confident. He's a big dude. But he's definitely impatient. His decision-making goes from bad to worse in a moment's notice. We saw that in the second half. Look, Mahomes choked. Pat Mahomes choked. There is no getting around that. But this isn't the first time he choked. You can keep giving me that last year in the Super Bowl, Pat Mahomes didn't have any help because he didn't have an offensive line. Okay. All right. Well, then how do you explain this stat line, though? He was 17 of 30 for 0 touchdowns, 2 interceptions with a passer rating of 49.7. That was in last year's Super Bowl. In the second half of the AFC Championship game, 8 of 18, 0 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and a 12.3 passer rating. That's your GOAT, y'all. That's who's the greatest of all time. I was told that it's just a blimp on the radar, that Pat Mahomes playing poorly in big games, that was just a blip. Oh, we're not worried about him struggling early this season. It's just a blip on the radar. It's not. We have nothing to worry about, because I've seen more of Pat Mahomes' greatness than I've seen him play poorly. Well, now we've seen it. We've now seen it multiple times in big games where out of nowhere, Pat Mahomes just unravels and he falls apart. He gets in his own head. However you want to dissect it, like the scouting report said, his decision-making goes from bad to worse in a moment's notice. That's not GOAT status. Tom Brady never unraveled like that. Peyton Manning did. Peyton Manning certainly made some bad decisions in a moment's notice. He could. That's why Peyton Manning is not the GOAT. Aaron Rodgers has done the same thing. That's why Aaron Rodgers is not the GOAT. The debate has always been, is Mahomes going to be considered the GOAT? Is he going to go down as the greatest quarterback we've ever seen? The answer to that question is no. Patrick Mahomes has been given all this praise, has given all the commercials, all the adoration, and all the love of he is the GOAT. He is the gold standard of quarterbacks in the NFL. Really? Well, maybe it's time that he shows it, because four AFC championships, 4 straight AFC championships, 2 Super Bowl appearances, and 1 Super Bowl title. That's not a dynasty, and that's not even close to being a GOAT. So now, on the other hand, we got to talk Joe Burrow. There may not be another quarterback that I've seen to be so unflappable this early in their career. Tom Brady, I don't even think, is a fair comparison of the unflappability of an athlete or of a quarterback, if you will, because Brady wasn't asked to do everything. As I've talked about before on this podcast, if you go back and you watch the Man in the Arena documentary, you see that early on in Brady's career, he wasn't expected to do a lot. It was pretty much be a game manager, control the game, don't screw up. That's all you have to do. Don't pick, don't throw picks, don't fumble the ball. Just do what you got to do. Joe Burrow has had to do it all. Joe Burrow has had to come in and be the franchise to completely restart this Bengals franchise. And he's taken them to heights that this team hasn't seen in over 25 years. They hadn't won a playoff game since the 90s. Joe Burrow is that dude. 23 of 38, 250 yards, two touchdowns, an interception. In the second half of that football game, Joe Burrow saved their season on multiple third downs. He had a play where he was all but sacked. And he pulled a mixture of Eli Manning in the Super Bowl back in 2007, a mix of a couple times where I've seen, and heaven forbid I mention him on a podcast, but Carson Wentz has had some back when he was playing with the Eagles. He used to have some escapes that were just unbelievable. And we've seen it from a few other quarterbacks. We've seen Pat Mahomes do it. We've seen Josh Allen do it as well in these playoffs where it looks like they are just going to get absolutely obliterated in the backfield and they somehow find a way to escape. Joe Burrow did that multiple times. On multiple occasions, Joe Burrow saved the Bengals season by his mobility. Again, this is a guy who's coming off a freaking knee injury a year before. Joe Burrow is so damn good at football, it's silly. And he's not the most gifted quarterback of all time. That conversation's never going to, you're never going to sit there and go, wow, what I'm watching from Joe Burrow, I've never seen before. That's not going to happen. But it that dude has just got that quality, that toughness, that mental toughness, that the balls, if you will, to just kind of, he walks in the huddle and you just kind of sit back and you've got to be like, yeah, man, we got this. Yeah, who cares? We're down by two scores. Doesn't matter. We got Joe Cool. Because that's what he is. You used to call Joe Montana Joe Cool. Joe Burrow seems to be in the same vein of Joe Montana. Just no situation is ever too big for him. Very calm, very collected. Throughout that game, if you go back and you rewatch the game, they would cut to Burrow when the Bengals were down by whatever. When they were down 21-3, they would cut to Joe Burrow on the sideline as he was just sitting there. His facial expression didn't change when they were down 21-3 to when they were up 27-24. I'm sorry, not 27-24. When they were up, 24-21. And he was just sitting there watching Pat Mahomes. Facial expression never changed. Just completely stone-faced. That's what you want. That's the guy that you want in your foxhole. Facial expression doesn't change. He's just sitting there just watching it all happen. That's someone who doesn't get too ahead of himself. That's somebody who doesn't allow the moment to get to him. Joe Burrow is that dude. There is no question about it. Will he win the Super Bowl? I don't know. Does he need to win the Super Bowl? Absolutely not. Burrow has already solidified himself as one of the best quarterbacks in football. Not only is he one of the best quarterbacks in football, but he's one of the easiest guys, I think, of all time as far as sports goes. He's just so easy to root for. You want to see this guy succeed. Sure, he's arrogant. Yeah, he's a little cocky here and there. I'm sure if you're not a bank, if you're a Chiefs fan, I'm sure you're going to hate Joe Burrow's guts for the rest of your life. And that's fair. But for anyone who's not a Chiefs fan, who's just, honestly, who just didn't have a horse in the race, Joe Burrow is somebody who you can just kind of sit back and be like, man, that dude's got it. Like, it's so hard not to like him. The way he plays, the way he carries himself, and the way that he embraces his teammates. The fact that he's always willing to give his teammates credit before himself. He's done it on multiple occasions. Gives his receivers credit, linemen credit, talks about his kicker. Who the hell talks about their kicker? Aside from the Patriots, who had to talk about Adam Vinatieri because Vinatieri was Adam Vinatieri. But what quarterbacks do you know sit back and praise their kicker? It's unheard of. It's just, this dude just has it, man. It's fun to watch. I'm really pumped for him. I'm happy for the fans in Cincinnati. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch him in 2 weeks. All right, let's get on the Jimmy G thing here. So the 49ers fell apart in the fourth quarter, and they lost to the Rams 20-17. All right, they were outscored in the fourth quarter 13-0. All right, everyone has been burying Jimmy Garoppolo. That has been the story. He was 16 of 30 for 232 yards, two touchdowns, and a pick. He had a QBR of 71.1. He outplayed, at least as far as QBR went, he outplayed Matt Stafford. Stafford's QBR was 61.9. So Jimmy G was the better quarterback on the field. Jimmy Garoppolo has been getting crushed since the end of that football game because of that pick that he threw. When it was like third and whatever it was, third and nine, third and 10, whatever. It might have even been more than that, third and 12, whatever the hell it was. And he was going down, and he just chucked the ball up. It hit the running back's hands. Like, the guy should have caught the football. Now, he would have caught the football, and he would have gotten blasted in the back, and the play would have lost yardage anyway. But instead, it got tipped, it got picked, and the game was essentially over. Guess what? The game was over either way. Whether the guy catches the ball or Jimmy gets sacked, it didn't matter. That game was over. That game was over. Everyone likes to talk about, again, I'm going to bring it back to last year's Super Bowl. Man, Pat Mahomes didn't have a good offensive line. Pat Mahomes didn't stand a chance because his offensive line failed him. Joe Burrow does not have a good offensive line. The 49ers offensive line in the second half of that football game was awful. Was awful. Jimmy did not have a whole shitload of time back there. He did against the Packers, surprisingly. But he didn't in the second half. It was like Aaron Donald and that Rams defense was coming for Jimmy in the second half, specifically in the fourth quarter. It wasn't like Garoppolo had a whole hell of a lot of time, and Garoppolo is not the most mobile quarterback going. So you need to put all of that into perspective. Now, I have said before, is Jimmy Garoppolo a top 15 quarterback? Do I think he is? Yes. Is he 15? Yes. Is he going to win you football games? No. Is he going to lose you football games? Nah, maybe. But he's not the reason the 49ers lost that football game. The 49ers lost that football game because whatever the hell that dude's name was, the cornerback for the 49ers, I can't think of his damn name. He's been mentioned a bunch of times, and I can't think of his name for whatever reason, dropped that pop-up that was all but gift-wrapped to him that Stafford threw. If he catches that ball, the game's done. It's over at that point in time. That would have, I've heard people be like, oh, you know, it wasn't like the 49ers offense was doing anything. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if the 49ers offense hadn't been doing anything up to that point. That's just a complete gut-wrenching interception that would have completely solidified that football game, I think, because I think the Rams mentally would have been done. They would have been done. The 49ers would have, the momentum would have been all on the 49ers side at that point. There's just no question to me that the game would have been over. So you got a gift-wrapped interception that was dropped. I mean, you can't put the game, like, that alone is not on Jimmy. Jimmy does not play defense. And say what you want about Garoppolo. And I've heard it all. Jimmy sucks. He's not a franchise quarterback. He needs help around him. Look at how poorly he's going to do when he's not on the 49ers. He'll end up in New Orleans, or he'll end up somewhere else. I hope he ends up in Tampa. That would be hilarious. Anyway, how many quarterbacks in the league can do it with no help? Six, maybe seven quarterbacks in the league are elite quarterbacks that don't necessarily need help around them, can be slotted into any organization to make them better. Rodgers, Mahomes, Burrow, arguably Russell Wilson, maybe, possibly still. Herbert, Allen. Maybe you could put Lamar Jackson in that category, possibly. So what is that, seven? Seven quarterbacks. The rest need some help. Matt Ryan needs a little bit of help. Matt Stafford obviously needs a little bit of help around him. He couldn't do it all. He wasn't able to do it in Detroit. And that's not knocking Matthew Stafford, because I think Stafford is one of the best quarterbacks in the game. But the point that I'm making is there are other quarterbacks who do need a little bit of help. So that argument to me is not a valid argument. Jimmy Garoppolo is 4-2 in the postseason. 4-2 in the postseason. You can sit there and go, wins are not a quarterback stat. Okay, fine. Wins aren't a quarterback stat. The guy, look at what the guy's done on third down in those games. He's been pretty damn awesome. Look at the statistics. Look at what he's been able to do in certain situations in games. Okay? This loss does not just fall on Jimmy Garoppolo. If you want to put it all on Jimmy Garoppolo, you're doing it wrong. And it doesn't just fall on that cornerback. It falls at the feet of Kyle Shanahan, who once again, in a big game, has completely fallen apart. Kyle Shanahan in the fourth quarter of the last three playoff losses as a head coach or an offensive coordinator. 2021 versus the Rams, he was outscored 13-0. 2019 versus the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, he was outscored 21-0. 2016 versus the Patriots, he was outscored 19-0. That's 53-0 in the fourth quarter of his last three playoff losses as a head coach or an offensive coordinator. He didn't have Jimmy G for all of those. He had Matt Ryan at one point, who I think everyone in the world would agree is better than Jimmy Garoppolo, or at least was better than Jimmy Garoppolo at that point in time, because Matt Ryan won the MVP that season. So you're going to keep telling me that it's just on Jimmy Garoppolo? Kyle Shanahan, for all of his greatness and for all of his genius, cannot close out a football game to save his life. He struggled 2 weeks ago in Dallas to do it when they were up. He struggles to close out big games. That's a problem. That's not strictly on the quarterback. You can't just put it on Garoppolo because you don't like him for whatever reason. I'm not saying Jimmy Garoppolo is the franchise. And I was happy when the 49ers went out and picked up a quarterback in the draft last year. I thought it was a great move because of Jimmy's injury history. Not because Jimmy sucks. It's because of his injury history and because of his contract. Do I think Jimmy can be successful somewhere else? Yeah, I do. Do I think that he's the reason why the 49ers lost? No, I don't. Did he contribute to it? Sure. Sure, you can say he contributed to the loss, but to just sit there and just put it all on him and say, oh, he sucks, is such a weak-ass argument. It's a lazy argument because there are so many other components to that game. To ignore them just completely shows your bias and that you're just anti-Garoppolo, which, again, is your, I mean, it's your prerogative. But that's all I heard all the past few days in the media is everyone, not everyone, but the majority of people who already were anti-Jimmy could not wait to pile on him. They were just sitting there and they were waiting. They were waiting for an opportunity to get on him. And all they kept bringing up was that interception at the end of the football game. Oh, he cost them the victory. They were not going to win the game regardless of if that pick happened or not. It just wasn't going to happen. They had no shot. They had no shot at the end of that football game. The game was over. The game was done. So again, you want to just pile on Jimmy. But that game, to me, falls equally at the feet of the quarterback, the head coach, and the damn cornerback that I can't think of his name of, who dropped the surefire pick that would have sent the 49ers to the Super Bowl. All right, and that brings me to Matthew Stafford, who I am elated for. The dude is finally in the Super Bowl. He has proved all of his doubters wrong. And it's awesome. It's awesome for him. And anyone who's rooted for him silently, like me, who is always sat there and said, this dude's a top five talent. He has no help. The Detroit Lions are a joke of a franchise. Aside from Calvin Johnson, he has never had any type of receiving help or any type of help in general. He finally went to a team. He had weapons and he utilized those weapons and created a monster in Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp, who arguably is the MVP of the league this year. He's not going to win it, but he's sure as hell in the conversation. Like this guy, I mean, Cooper Kupp is unbelievable. But you want to know what we weren't saying about Cooper Kupp? That he was unbelievable when Jared Goff was his quarterback. So let's put all this into perspective real quick. Matt Stafford was traded to the Rams, came into this franchise, had a shit ton of pressure on him. That he had the most pressure out of any quarterback coming into this season. He was now in a situation with a loaded roster. Could he deliver? Could he actually prove that he could be clutch in the big moments? Because he had never been clutch in the big moments. And all the people like me who had been saying, just give him some fucking talent and this guy is going to go off. What did he do? He created a monster in Cooper Kupp. He beat the GOAT on the road. He then beat his rival at home. And now he's sitting pretty in the Super Bowl. His team is hosting the Super Bowl. And that's the other thing. The Rams get to host the Super Bowl in their home stadium. He has done everything. He has checked every box that the Rams could have possibly wanted. Do I think he needs to win the Super Bowl in order to solidify the fact that that trade was a good trade for the Rams? No, because I think he's already done it. For Matt Stafford's, like, for his legacy, if he wins the Super Bowl, he's a first ballot, as far as I'm concerned, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Like, that would solidify his legacy discussion. But as far as the Rams making the right decision, to me, there is no question that he has already proven that the Rams made the right choice. How could you argue against it, by the way? And that was one of the sports topic debates that I saw on First Take. I saw it on Undisputed. And I think it was on First Things First as well on FS1, where they were actually arguing. And again, it could have just been a TV. Again, this is a downtime for a lot of these sports debate shows because you got 2 weeks to ramp up for the Super Bowl. So you have to come up with stupid ass topics. But there are people who were legitimately debating, multiple people who were saying, no, Matthew Stafford, in order for the trade for Matthew Stafford to actually be a good trade, Stafford has to win the Super Bowl. That is such an asinine take. You think you were going to get there with Jared Goff? Yeah, I understand that the Rams gave up some top picks in order to get Stafford. But you're going to tell me that there's another, that they would have been able to draft another quarterback with that first round pick or that second round pick to take them to the Super Bowl within the next 3 to 4 years? No. The Rams were in win now mode. They had loaded up this roster to win right now. And they've done just that. Matthew Stafford has checked, like I said, every single box. The only box left to check, obviously, is to win the Super Bowl, but he does not have to win the Super Bowl to prove that the Rams made the right choice. Again, to me, the Super Bowl for Stafford, or to win the Super Bowl, for the Rams to win the Super Bowl, is more about Stafford's legacy than it is about the Rams organization making the right choice. I don't understand how you can honestly believe that Jared Goff would have got them to this point. And the prime example of this is Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp was not an MVP candidate with Jared Goff as his quarterback. Jared Goff would be throwing the ball into the stands or into the ground or checking down on third and long. Whereas Matt Stafford on third and long is looking to bomb the ball 40 yards downfield. He's looking to make a play, not looking to do a check down. Sean McVay finally has his quarterback, and his quarterback is delivering for him in spades. So good for Matthew Stafford. It's going to be an exciting matchup between him and Joe Burrow in 2 weeks. I can't wait. All right, my Everything is Stupid segment. I got to touch on the Brian Flores lawsuit against the NFL. I'm not saying Brian Flores is stupid. I'm not saying the lawsuit is stupid. This is more focused on the media just running with the story and already claiming that the NFL is racist. This, to me, sniffs and just smells of Colin Kaepernick 2.0, where what we're going to do is we're going to listen to how the NFL is racist, how the NFL is discriminating against black head coaches, and nothing is going to come up with this lawsuit. No proof is going to come out that's going to actually verify Flores' accounts of matters, and that's going to be the end of it. And then everyone's going to continue to talk about how secretly the NFL is an all-white or all-boys club, all-white men boys club that secretly are just hate black people. Because that's what we've been listening to for the last, 5 years now with the Colin Kaepernick thing of, the NFL blackballed Kaepernick, even though they kept giving him opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to get put back on the football field. And Kaepernick kept shooting himself in the foot because he realized that being a martyr was more important than actually playing in the NFL. So that is my opinion of how this is going to go down. This is what the suit states, all right? And this is coming from ESPN's The Undefeated. The lawsuit, which seeks class action status, claims the New York Giants violated the league's expansive guidelines covering inclusive hiring and picking their next head coach, and names the NFL, the Giants, and the Denver Broncos as defenders. Included in Flores' complaint are apparent screenshots of text messages in which New England Patriots head coach Bill Belichick informed Flores that the Giants had already chosen Brian Daboll to be their new on-field leader while Flores was preparing to meet with Giants general manager Joe Schoen. If true, the Giants conducted a sham interview, which is prohibited under the Rooney Rule. Flores is Afro-Latino. Daboll, formerly the Buffalo Bills' offensive coordinator, is white. Both Flores and Daboll worked under Belichick with the Patriots. End quote. Okay. So, a couple things. Number one, it is not discrimination or a violation of the Rooney Rule to already decide ahead of time who you want. Okay? It doesn't matter if the coach is white, if he's black, if he's Puerto Rican. It does not matter. If going into an interview, and guess what? This is just how it is in most companies, most places in the world. And a lot of times, coming into an interview, whoever is hiring you, the hiring manager, let's just say the hiring manager, reads resumes, probably has a gold candidate already picked out, saying, this is the guy I want, or this is the woman I want. If they can interview well, given their resume, given their background, given everything, this is who we want, is right here in this, is this person right here. And if they come in and they blow the interview, well, then you have a whole other, then you got to, you know, you got to start from scratch and be like, okay, well, now I actually have to really intensively interview the next few candidates because this person is not who I thought they were. However, if they come in and they give a excellent interview, they're still going to go through with the other interviews because they have to by affirmative action and just by hiring practices in general. They're not just going to cancel all the other interviews. They're going to go through the motions. And then they're eventually going to take the candidate that they wanted from the beginning. That's pretty much what you're seeing here with the Giants. The Giants made the determination ahead of time, presumably. Now, again, we don't know if these text messages are authentic or not. We don't know. I'm going to assume that they are, but again, we don't know if they're authentic. They have, obviously, that's going to happen within the court, within the legal process to authenticate those text messages. But anyway, let's say they're true. That means that the Giants sat back when they found out, or at some point in time, they made the determination that Drabble's who they want. What's so bad about that? I'm sorry, Daboll. I said Drabble. Daboll. Daboll is who they want. That's not discrimination. That is an organization sitting back going, that's our guy. That is our guy. Per league rules, though, we have to interview a bunch of coaches, including black coaches, because the league told us we have to do that. Now, Flores could have gone into that interview, and he could have blew them away. But maybe he didn't. Maybe if Flores was their guy, he could have done exactly what I just said. He could have walked into that interview and blew them away. And then they would have had to sit back and go, "Who? Maybe Daboll's not our guy. Maybe we go with Flores." But maybe Daboll walked in and was like, "This is what I'm going to do for this team. This is what I'm going to do for this organization." And the Giants were like, "This guy, yep, we were right about him all along. We're going to go with him." That is not discrimination. It would be no different than if the roles were reversed and the Giants had said ahead of time, Flores is our guy. That's who we want. And Flores comes in, blows them away in the interview, and they're like, "We knew from day one. Flores was our guy. We're going with Flores, and we're moving on." That's not discrimination either. That's just an organization deciding ahead of time. It's no different than, okay, let's do it this way. The NFL draft. Teams have their big board. They have the player that they want to get, and then the other players that they'll take if that player gets drafted ahead of time. Coaching's no different. You've got your big board. This is who we want. If this guy goes to another team, then we go with this guy. If this guy goes to another team, then we go with this guy. It's the same thing. Here's our big board. This is who we want. These are the coaches we're going to interview. If any one of these coaches, however, are a better interview, then maybe they're our guy and this guy isn't. And that's just, again, that's just how it works. So far, there has been nothing other than these text messages that Flores has come out with that has been any type of proof. Now, there has been complaints for years that the NFL has not hired enough black head coaches. And I'm not saying that there shouldn't be more black representation in the NFL. That is not my argument. I think there should be more black head coaches in the NFL. I've said that before. But I also don't believe, I've never believed in just hiring a coach because of the color of their skin. I don't care if they're black, white, purple, green. It doesn't matter to me. I want the best coach for the job. If the best coach for the job is Brian Flores, or rather for your organization, if it's Brian Flores, great. That's awesome. If it's Brian Leftwich, great. If it's, I don't know, Eric Bieniemy, awesome. I don't care. I just want the best coach. That, to me, is how I would hire. I would go in and say, what can you do for me? If you say everything I want to hear, and I believe in what you're spilling, you're going to get hired. If I don't like what I hear, I'm moving on to the next guy. But everyone keeps bringing up, by the way, the Eric Bieniemy thing. Oh, Eric Bieniemy is never getting a head coaching job. Like, how the hell are these teams so stupid? Has it ever crossed your mind, anyone's mind out there who keeps making the race argument about Eric Bieniemy, that maybe Eric Bieniemy doesn't want to leave Kansas City? I mean, I know, right? Total shocker here. He's only gone to 4 straight AFC championships game. Could it be possible that Eric Bieniemy is sitting there going, I got a good thing here? Josh McDaniels did the same fucking thing in New England for years. He got offer after offer after offer. He went to Denver, sucked at Denver, and went right back to New England and was like, I never should have left. I had a good thing here. I'm going to Super Bowls. I'm getting Super Bowl rings. I'm coaching the GOAT. Why should I leave? Bieniemy could be in the same position. Is unless he gets an offer that he just can't refuse, like he has the opportunity, maybe Jacksonville comes calling and he's like, ooh, I mean, I can have Trevor Lawrence for the next 10, 15 years. Okay, well, maybe I'll take that one. But outside of that, are there really any other head coaching positions that give you a better opportunity to win than Kansas City right now? I don't think so. So again, the arguments that are constantly being made by the same people in the media over and over and over again is that the NFL is racist, but yet you don't have any proof of that. Discrimination is, again, it is not discrimination to have a favorite going into an interview. That's not discrimination. That's just life. You can call it nepotism. You can call it a lot of things. But it does not prove discrimination. It just proves that you're not their gold candidate. And that's my problem with this, is that, again, the media is running with it. It's already being determined that the NFL is racist. And unfortunately, my fear is that this is going to overshadow the Super Bowl. Leading up to the Super Bowl, this is all we're going to hear. And ESPN, of course, of all the major sports networks, in my opinion, couldn't wait to push this out. Because ESPN has turned into, and I've said it before, the MSNBC of sports. They can't wait. They cannot wait to try and slam somebody, anybody, about race. So, look, I don't know what's going to happen moving forward. I believe that this lawsuit is literally going to go nowhere. That Flores, unfortunately, may not get another head coaching job. Now, that would be bullshit. If he doesn't get another head coaching job, which could happen, then you've got a lawsuit. Then you can go after the NFL for blackballing you. That in turn would then become a lawsuit that you could actually win. This lawsuit right now, I just don't see how the hell you're going to win this. To me, legally speaking, you've got one hell of a high bar that you got to leap to be able to prove discrimination, just because an organization may or may not have predetermined who they wanted prior to an interview. Good luck. I just don't see, legally speaking, how you're going to be able to prove that. I just don't. All right, so let's end on a positive note here real quick. Just want to touch on, if you haven't seen already, go on YouTube, pull up Peyton Manning on SNL this past weekend. He did a weekend update. It was hilarious. The best skit SNL has done in a long, long time. I think it's the best episode of SNL since Bill Burr hosted it, whatever it was, like 2 years ago. SNL has been going down the tubes for a long time. They suck. But Peyton Manning on there was fantastic. Manning should be on SNL a hell of a lot more than he's been. He is, every skit that he has done on SNL has been comic gold. He's just that talented. The guy is so charismatic. He's likable. He, although he's not relatable in the sense of he's a two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback, he's a multi-millionaire, but he seems relatable. He seems like one of those guys that you could just go up on the street, have a conversation with. He has that, like I said, that charisma, that personality, that very friendly, very warm. But he's just so damn talented. I mean, as great as he was on the football field, he might be even better off. The guy's great in commercials. He's awesome on SNL. He's great on that Manning cast with he and his brother on Monday Night Football. And when he does the, like, the celebrity golf stuff, when he plays with, you know, when he was playing with Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods and against Tom Brady and all that stuff, or with Charles Barkley, he's hilarious. He's just awesome. I mean, I don't know what else to say. Everyone knows I love Peyton Manning, but that SNL skit was just, it was top notch. So if you haven't seen it, check it out. It's everywhere on YouTube. You can find it. It's worth, I think it's like a 7-minute clip. It's worth 7 minutes. You'll laugh your ass off and you'll enjoy it. All right, everybody, that's going to do it for this week's edition of the Low Valley Sports Talk Podcast, brought to you by the Soundline Network. As always, thank you so much for tuning and listening. I greatly appreciate it. Please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to check out the latest episode of the Rich Olala Podcast. This weekend, we'll have Matty Duchon, who also hosts his own podcast for the network, which is Secret Stuff Fantasy Basketball Podcast. So be sure to check out his latest episode as well. And that is it. That's all I have for you this week. Hope you all be well. Stay safe. Talk to y'all again soon.